Blog Talk Radio. the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the Lord, that he may be able to stand quietly. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah. powerful name. Hallelujah.
Radio broadcast, drop off, radio is not on the air. I've been a host by name, yours, Peter, Earl C. Williams. Well, we're going to finish this call revealing the number of the D666 from Ignition 562. But we made a little slight detour because the health issue in some of the members of the family that are fixing on camp, that one day that all camps would be people coming all over the world at a time appointed. So we have to understand that there's certain things we can do and what we can't do. Because remember one thing, the children of Israel, let's talk about the ones on the west coast of Shem, they call Ham. When they came over here, they were brought over here, but they died that they didn't eat what's not brought with them. So if you don't know who you are and what is your diet, you're going to be in a situation cost you a lot of time. Keep one thing in mind. If you're not physically, mentally inclined with Yahweh, your spirit ain't going to be right. You'll be an agitated person. You'll be a mean person because you're not properly, but you have to be lined up with Yahweh the way he designed you to be. For your mind to be right. Your mind cannot be no other way right than when Yahweh designed it. Like, for example, the polar bear and the gorilla. Whatever the polar bear eats, meat, blood, he's a blood eater. He eats fish and all them seals that he can get his mouth on. That's what he eats. Yahweh designed him to eat meat. Blood eater, the polar bear. Then on the other hand, he designed the gorilla to eat fruit, vegetables, and leaves. That's what he designed him to eat. So when they had it all framed, they were, you need to take their all framed and take them to the polar bear. Well, okay, I want you to raise my all framed up. The gorilla, they don't do that. The gorilla all framed, I take your all framed and take it to the polar bear. They don't do that. But we all as species go to everybody else for whatever, but he was prophesied it was going to happen to for being disobedient. Yes. So we got a lot of teaching to understand. The reason why we got the problem, you know, because we don't know who we are and what Yahweh said was, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. Now, if you cross me, this is what's going to happen to you. After you made a grievance to do what I tell you to do. So we got a lot of work to do. So we don't see them coming on stage, and I don't know if it's Isaiah, or not, we make sure we see. Let me see his brother, Isaiah. His brother Isaiah on the broadcast, who read the script and took out some hard remarks, but I don't know. Let's find out. Well, don't talk to those people. Let those people get the thoughts out there, and you get it out of them. messenger of a power over you, and you can tell me something. So this brother Isaiah, now this brother Isaiah, y'all why I'm looking up there, right?
Yeah, God bless you now. Yeah, it will. Hallelujah.
All right, all right. Tell me, brother, you did. You got the blueprint off, you coming on Facebook. Let's speak to some of you, you're in here. You know what you're doing, that brother Isaiah?
Yes, sir. Trying to come back.
What? That's a great day now. And let me welcome on Facebook. I can tell you, and I'm Brother Summer right now, trying to find out what verse is that, but I know it's written in Psalms. It says, time gonna come, and good things gonna happen, but I'm struggling right now, Sister Sarah. Old Sarah is struggling on trying to find out what that verse is. Then when we get to Luke 12, we're going to get to try to help put the children of Israel at that station on account back in the right perspective. But I'm struggling on that now, Sister Sarah. Can you have to figure out on each struggling on a verse, which is called a precept. So you can't even have those stay out there, Sister Sarah. Matthew 129, verse 8. And you keep talking until you can click up on the scripture. That's what I did. Now, click on talking, Sister Sarah. That's how you do when you're reading the Bible. When we, like I said, give you a verse to go to, just keep calling that verse out until you find it. But be no dead space. So somebody comes in on the international side, if they leave you just counting pages and you ain't saying nothing, they'll say, oh, nobody on that ball okay. But you keep on repeating that verse until you find it. It's always pretty trying to find a verse. Okay, good. That's what you do until you find a verse. Keep talking about that verse. First of all, you write it down and keep talking about it until you find it. So in the book of Psalms, that's the Sarah, 129, verse number 8, the angel is going to tell you something that's going to happen in our day. And what he said we can read in Psalms 129, verse 8. What is that? Sister Sarah, what is that?
Going to the book of Psalms, chapter 129, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, neither do they which go by faith the blessing of the Yahuwah be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Yahuwah.
See, he said, you don't call God, they don't do that no more, Sister Sarah. They don't do that no more. They don't stop doing that. They don't start talking about what time it is, man. So when we, good morning, good afternoon. But I was going all the way down. You talk to everybody now, you say, you know, they want to hear you say, one down. Oh, man, there ain't no man. What is that kind of talk? Who said it? The children of Israel, one day after all, would not meet and greet one another according to the Bible. They're not going to never say the blessing of Yahweh be with upon you. We bless you in the name of Yahweh. That's going all the way around. We don't greet one another like that. We are. How you doing, neighbor? Hello. See you later. That's how we do it now. But see, we all off that way because you don't know who we are. And that's what a Christian artist must take up and come back to this book. And since we got a lot of different members in the Christian artist camp, we have to be full of. And so we still going to touch on the mark of the beast and the start of addition, but you must understand that Yahweh got rules and regulations. Now, I got a question for Sister Sarah or Brother Isaiah. Y'all got the book of Jubilees closed back? Y'all have the book of Jubilees closed back?
Same hour, what you all said.
And at the same hour, there are couple of things. Matter of fact, we just from here. Y'all we just Proverbs 16 verse 1 for the last man. Proverbs, who's talking about Proverbs 16 verse 1 to the Bible? Proverbs 16 verse 1. Proverbs 16 verse 1 there, y'all heard. He's talking about it to the Father, y'all, right? Proverbs 16, verse 1. Keep talking about it. Proverbs 16, verse 1, speaking Father first. Come on.
In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 1 reads, in the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Yahweh.
Sometimes, what he's saying is, y'all, sometimes Yahweh has a person pray out something, but then was adding their lie. But they wouldn't see it, but Yahweh, he got a way to make them pray out what's on their lying. He took the slip of the tongue. No, there ain't slipping no tongue. Yahweh has to bring it out for something to come out of that. That's what happens. Come out. What it says in 21 verse 2 there, y'all right? Let's talk about Proverbs 21 verse 2. What is Proverbs 21 verse 2? Now wait, hold on, y'all right? Wait till I tell you to take off. Go ahead before you go. Because you might, you know, have the old fear jumping all around the place. So wait till I give you the go to go. Then you just go. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Brother Isaiah, come out.
We got one. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh pondereth the heart.
Yeah, so he pondered the heart in your mind. He pondered your mind. He pondered your mind. He makes your mind bring out things that you want to say, what did y'all say that? I didn't really mean that, but now Yahweh has your point out. He lets you say some things, and then the white person sitting there listening at it all the way. That's a good thing. So now, Mr. Carter, we're going to take a look at what is going on in the book of Jubilee with Noah, and Noah is talking to somebody. Matter of fact, let's see what Noah is talking to all. Research. So now, Super Sarah, let's take a look at that.
the Jubilee. Chapter 10, verse 10 through 13. Verse 10 through 13. One of us is commanded that we should teach men all their medicine. And we knew that they would not walk in uprightness, nor strive in righteousness. Verse 11. And we did according to all his words. All the negligence, evil words, abound in the place of redemption, condemnation. And a few part of them we left, that they might be subject before Satan and the earth. Verse 12. And we explained to them all the medicines of their diseases, together with their seductions, how he might heal them with the herbs of the earth. Verse 13. And Noah wrote down all the things in the book as we instructed him concerning every kind of medicine. Thus the evil spirits were secluded from hating the things of Noah. Verse 14. And he gave all that we had written to him with everything, for he loved him exceedingly above all his things.
And see, he made Shem, of all his sons, and Noah gave all that information to Shem. And Shem was the firstborn son, and Shem, but we first saw him with his little audience and said that was all good. So really, we try to address the national audience on exactly what to do according to, and he said he loved him to Shem. But look what he says in verse 12, just a little more audio there.
All right, verse 12 reads, and we explained to Noah all the medicines of their diseases, together with their possessions, that we might heal them with all the herbs of the earth.
The audio that came from heaven that was called by the fire and the fire, you go down inside and catch Noah. And explain to Noah about the earth of the field of the earth that what heals man and keeps things off of you. So that's a big question right there, though. So I want to hear one more time. See, what we just found out now, but see, right now, what we do now, when we get sick, the first thing we do is run to the hospital, and they will give us, and they will take the bill right here for prescription. And then you'll go and take your prescription to the pharmacy. They'll give you a bunch of white pills. And you take the white pills home, because this is what they told you, that they don't. But we just found out, contrary to being healed, and we are the sinners of Shem. Our loved ones and tell them that if they can be healed, Collins, according to verse 12, it says, one sinner is his property, according to verse 12.
The earth.
Of the what?
Of the earth.
Say it again.
The earth of the earth.
Do what?
And he is the body properly. And
he is the body properly. So, hey, we know it's going to be a school to open all radio station comes. But that's why I'm saying, yes, when I say the donor's hand to make all the donations and all the good things to come up, who are going to teach them all? What does the school pop up tomorrow? What do teachers give that? So that's why we see the teachers prepared now in the season on the camp that you will have to give them the proper offer. Yeah, just tell them today, remember the 25 of Israel. And they come in with TikTok. You got to show them in the Bible that when you sit, this is what you got to do. But not only precept that read there, look at them, and the wisdom of Solomon 16 verse 12, but more come with that. So we're going to precept that and wisdom of Solomon 16 verse 12. Let's see what he precept that. He said, now listen, verse 12 says, you fail to know what shows the fit of sinner that prays right back up to us today. He is the earth from the earth. That is the number one way to get healed, is the earth from the earth. That is number one. See, and anytime you add to one, it's number one. And we know we look up on our mothers, our aunties, all our relatives. We see a bunch of bottles of white pills and all of them. But in the same token, we got the highest rate of diabetes, the highest rate of cancer, got the highest rate of everything. See? You know why? Because we got to teach what works for us. Just like the polar bear teaches his offspring to work for them. And the polar bear is not going to send his offspring to the gorilla. And the same thing, the gorilla is not going to send their offspring to the polar bear. It's your own. And that's why we pick it up. This call today, we don't trust nobody but somebody else. We trust anybody that looks like somebody else. We want to know what they're eating, and we want what they eat. And that's why we got more disease, more sickness, crying for our time, because we don't know who we are. And Lord gives to us, like the polar bear knew Lord gives to him, and the gorilla knew Lord gives to him. If you swap these two animals over and put the gorilla over there in Alaska somewhere, everybody will freeze to death, and then we time to eat, you don't even look about eating fields and fish, even this fish. This all the work, so we'll be dead before we come. So I'm just saying about the polar bear. Take the polar bear out of Alaska. Come over there, travel the country, and tell him to eat fruit, vegetables, and meat. He'll be dead before we come. So y'all got a blessing on us that we don't, we both be dead for our tribe. Because we doing everything that other nations program in our brain, and that's why we in the condition we in today. So, Sister Bell, you got me my wisdom of Solomon 16 verse 12. Now this, all this stuff we gonna tell you about this, because we want to see the speaker on the camp, And we got to ask y'all, everybody, all they teach, but prepared to be able to teach the time appointed. And you can't be a hypocrite in it. You got to know what you're teaching, so the same token, when you tell us what you're supposed to do, we have to read by example. So we can't be having a spirit in our mouth and a hammer in our mouth at the same time, telling people, well, this way it takes to get your body back together. Good? So now we be hypocrites. So we got to practice what we teach. So there it is. So now, you just read that exactly what it takes to heal the body according to the angel of death. But what it says in the Word of God, 16 verse 12, and then we're going to bring the mother in to help us get on chapter 52. What it says, Sister Carol, Word of God, 16 verse 12, what it says.
Going to wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse 12. And 12 reads, for it is neither earth nor modifying plaster that restores them to us, but thy word, O Yahweh, to heal all things.
So what really is you according to 16, verse 12?
The word of Yahweh.
The word of Yahweh. That what really heals you. So what really heals you, because Yahweh, the Father, the Son, is the one planet, all the earth of the field. But you got to get your life, or it's probably one of them. So you can't come to his side and say, well, I'm just going to follow the dietary, but you're going to have Yahweh as the afterlife. No, it don't work like that. No, it don't work like that. You got to come all the way and y'all problems and y'all problems will let you proceed on the blessing that he's got written in the Bible. You got, but you got to obey him. So let's get one more in, and if you know more, we're going to be around a little bit later to give a big time commentary on the life blessing. But let me come on stage while the mother's out of town one. To hog that microphone, she listens to it. I'm always ready to hog that microphone. Because we know we're going to do what God got to do, we got to do it. So, Marlene, how does God got to do? One of the laws out of count one. Y'all probably get there too, right?
God bless you. Thank you, God. And you got
five. I really got five of them, Marlene. Now, Laura, I want to take a look at something, but y'all mind them. I was just calling the telephone, you know, and I want you to write it down a little bit. Go and look up and tell me the origin, where did it come from, the chicken. Where did the chicken come from? I want you to ask you, what did God do, and make a note of the origin of the chicken. Well, chicken come from. We're going to know where chicken come from and the cow. So you look up and take your time, because I watch you carefully on that on one of our things, telephone. You notice that on it. Because I want you carefully for the national audience. Look up and make it known on the origin of where chicken came from and the origin of where cow come from. So you need to know that. Well, and we'll come back with you to take a good note on it. The chicken and the cow will be with the team tomorrow night. But the chicken and the cow, you look it up, make some notes on it, and when we come back with you, be prepared to enlighten the national audience about the chicken and the cow. Where did it come from? Did it come from the Almighty? Let's go and take a look at a couple of things, Marie. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, Marie. And we're going to look at verse 15 and let's get down to 18. We're going to read a little bit. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and 16. Marie, we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 28. verse 15 and 16, then we'll skip down to verse 18, then we'll read a little bit. But what does Deuteronomy Mara see say in 28, verse 15 and 16?
Deuteronomy, that's 28, verse 15 and 16, verse 18 reads, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. 16. Curse shall thou be in the city, and curse shall thou be in the field.
What it say in 1 and 11?
committed in running. That's the third one. Where it was one and 11.
Where it was 31. It's 31, huh? give me a precept on that, Dallas. Give me a precept on that in Deuteronomy 3. First number. Give me a precept in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to see my dear. Get another good way out of that first. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, that's all. I want to get me a segment out there to kind of, you know, warm up a little bit. What do we say in verse number 10, 11, 19, and 20?
Go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, reading verses 10, verse 11, verse 19, and verse 20. Verse 10 reads, "And thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahuwah thy Yahuwah, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Yahuwah thy Yahuwah with all thy mind and with all thy soul." Verse 11. "For this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off." Verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record it, record this day against you, that I have set before your life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Verse 20. "That thou mayest love the Yahuwah thy Yahuwah, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, and he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Yahuwah swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Israel."
So you see, you got a blessing that if you listen, and not only listen, according to Romans 2:13, what you got to do according to this? You said, "I hear it." You got to be blessed. But my people don't know now, you know, these curses. He said, "You know what I mean by it now?" So in Romans 2:13, that dog, let me out in 2:13, I'm what it says.
And we're going to the book of Romans, reading chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 13 reads, "For not the hearers of the law are just before Yahuwah, but the doers of the law shall be justified."
Are you just on hearers, Sister Sarah? And just the doers want to teach it, but you ain't going to do it. You're already justified by being just a hearer. You out there doing this thing. You just can't. Okay, well, I will show you what's going on, but you ain't going to do it. You still going to do things contrary to the book. He's not in order like that. He said, "Now, you don't do this thing, you don't want to do it." That's what he said, "You don't want to do it. You can't see the end of this thing, you got to be doing this thing." So now, they're going to lay some groundwork down.
Of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right. We live for take number 63. And so our elder came on stage, so I'm bring our elder in, then we'll pick back up on whatever we're working with. And remember, it's supposed to be a feast day coming up in about 3 weeks. And I noticed a lot of members of the Six Anointed Camps, they talking about what food to bring. But that day is a little more important than what kind of food you're going to bring. So we're going to take a look at that shortly about the feast that's coming up in about 3 weeks about to bring our elder in. So when you meet our elder, with a loud voice you say, Elder Mr. Tears, Yahweh BJC right here.
And Yahweh bless you and see you as well as you well. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah. We was doing our thing by playing yesterday's tape until the elder come on the broadcast, but now he's ready to go. So let's see what we can get in, elder. Then we're going to take a look at this feast day coming up and see if we get a couple statements on this feast day coming up and what it's all about. It's about just eating them up, strangling them up. We'll check out all that shortly, because it tell you in Sirach 10:1, a wise seer will instruct his feet. We got to be clear about exactly what that is coming up, what it's all about, what the true meaning of the remore of blowing of the trumpet. So it'll take your time and talk to the national audience while we get ourselves set up to take care of some
Yahuwah
business. You on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, see you as well. And as I usually say, it's a pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And also that which we speak of, the feast days which are coming up. It's good to let people know what the feast days are and what they have to do in order to participate in them. And the Bible also mentions about all of the feast days, and it's even on our website if they desire to look into that, which we will give all that information in just a moment in our regular announcement. But people deciding what to bring on the feast day to eat or to worship Yahweh, it should not be too difficult to make that particular decision. Even I could stop by and drop off some things if necessary if everyone's confused. But this is the reason why that we find that a teacher can't learn from the student. All the time you're passing out wise counsel, the students should pick up on the teachings. And these teachings are to lead you in a righteous direction, so you have a chance to lead others in the same direction. But if your thought process is confused in the beginning, then what is it that you're going to be doing? You're going to be teaching confusion. So you have to make sure that what you know is what the Bible says, that you are learning the word correctly by rehearsing the righteous act, so you may thereby pass it on, teaching others that righteous act which you have learned from the seer or any one of the six anointed counts that know. Not speaking too much of the one-eyed Satan, which is the computer, cell phone, or any one of the devices. Anything that we use for good can be constructed to be used for evil. Even I've seen a person that I call the alien man that tries to change the Bible scriptures into alien technology. That's correct. He really does that, and he invests all his knowledge to go forth and try to change the Bible scriptures around. That's pretty bad. So we have to remember, it's the non-righteous job to lead you astray. But these are the lost and confused people that have a misunderstanding. But in the voices of the true Israelite, we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, loud bump the gums for righteous learning and Christianity. Our job is to welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, which we've often been questioned about by other ministries. how can you guys get this much information out of this one book? We often hear that on a daily basis, but it comes from learning how to connect the books, the words of Yahweh, your health, foods that you should eat, and much more that we cover from the Bible. Keeping the Sabbath days. We do all of this because you have not, and this is the information that you all out there came to seek and have now found it in the voices of the Israelites, tribe of Yahweh. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, as mentioned previously, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. We have an online class that starts at 7:30 to 10:30 that day. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To get there on any search line, put it in tribeyahdah.com. And after you click enter, once again, look for tribeyahdah.com-Israelites. This will take you to a big liner where you will see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see a menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us, that picks up the Bible and reads Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh your tenants of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, you always hear me say that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver, which is a true thing. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the books in the Bible of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30. And once again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh live. Also for building a school, which is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land of all health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Yahweh Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. And you'll find out what that calendar will do for you, as mentioned earlier. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year, basically letting you know what month and what day to celebrate the Bible feast days. And to do that, you'll find that the feature is available during our broadcast time. To get there, just enter Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. Doing this will put you right into our live online broadcast. We also have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh Online. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This will be our international number, where you can call and leave those message on Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 million accounts of Yahweh's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach, as we have seen before. I'll have to remind you, you'll only receive a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, by calling this number, you'll be able to order the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC. New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos, and even now, the Latter-day Saints. Almost too difficult to see all those tasks. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch the entire show after 9:15 p.m. To do that, just enter three words on your search line, Yakwa Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yagah. Just choose a program that you will be logging into or any particular day on that list that you would like to listen. And during our normal broadcast broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Peltalk. Peltalk can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer, even your smartwatch. Just make sure you've downloaded the Peltalk app. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahweh. Our room will hold 50 or more listening participants, where Yahweh's Word will be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the only table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be the Elderness of Tibbs Israel, along with the Sea of Israel riding the shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But that continuing reminder that I always give, when we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahweh will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. So we have to be careful not to make worldly statements that can't be backed up by the Bible, but make those statements that can be backed up in the Bible. And so we can start to do just that. We'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Kalahu, Yahweh.
All right, yeah, you know, that's excellent. This is all Thursday evening, and we got a lot of calls from other members of the family. He was basically talking about what we're supposed to eat and all that. I said, that's not the number one reason for the food thing. He wasn't dying on what he was going to eat. The origin of what it really is talking about. So what I'm going to do, give you a chance to pick up a bit of the same like those that seem like a big role over there with you. He know more about men coming across the members of the clay.
Of the subject matter,
and don't put the horse before the cart. So in Barak 7:23, you have me out here. What is this?
Okay. And the book of Sirach. Can you repeat that verse again?
37:23.
Okay, it sounds like you're talking in the background. That's why I had to ask again. I do apologize. But in the book.
Verse 23.
I have it.
Okay,
in the book of Sirach. 37, verse number 23.
Yes, sir.
Okay, verse number 23. It says, a wise man instructeth his people, and the fruits of his understanding fail not.
Mm-hmm. And the wise man that will instruct his people, let's get a 3:17, who is this wise man supposed to instruct his people, the elder? You go on to the 9th chapter of the book, 1 Samuel. Let's find who this wise man is when you precept your Bible. Who is this wise man for the instructed people? You go on to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to find out who is this wise man that's supposed to instruct his people. Let's see in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 18 and 19. Let's see what it says in verse 18 and 19. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. What does that help?
In the book of 1 Samuel, looking at chapter 9, reading verse 18 and verse number 19. 18 says, then Saul drew nearer to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where is the seer's house is? 19. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thy mind.
Mm-hmm. Verse 27.
Verse 27 says, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servants pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of Yahweh.
So that is the definition of a seer. A seer's job is to not tell where he's gone, where he's been. His job is to make sure he instructs the people about the word of Yahweh. So that's what it means by being a seer. He tells you exactly what the Bible says, and don't worry about your feelings, how your feelings got hurt, because that ain't what it's all about. By showing that the Bible is from you. So now we get a precept in the 17th chapter, 1st verse, King. And this is the response that you're supposed to get once you hear the word of Yahweh. Once you hear the word of Yahweh, according to the Bible, is a response you're supposed to get. And we're going to see exactly what kind of response that you get when you are... We're going to the 17th chapter, 1 Kings, Elder. And we'll look at verse number 24.
Okay.
First Kings, chapter 17, verse number 24.
Yes, sir. 24 says, and the woman said to Elijah, how by this I know thou art a man of Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh is in thy mouth, is in truth.
Mm-hmm. Let me read that. He said, now by this I know that thou art a man of Yahweh, and that the word of Yahweh in thy mouth is true. So that's how you know, because the word that the seer is supposed to put on the table is what we all can read together. And one thing about a seer, he has to be a 11 verse 3 of St. John. No doubt about it. 11 verse 3 of St. John. Let's see how a seer is supposed to speak there, Elder. St. John 11 verse 3.
In the book of St. John, chapter 11, reading verse number 3, it says, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Yahweh, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. 11:3.
Yeah. Well, let me turn that around. Let me turn it around to a 3 verse 11. Let's turn it around, Elder. Make that 3 verse 11.
Okay. St. John, chapter 3, verse number 11 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
The seer's job is to only testify on what he knows. You can't be thumbing around guessing over the place. You got to know. Because Yahweh made it plain how he operated in the Bible. In Hosea 12, verse 10, Elder, he made it plain how he operates in the Bible according to Hosea, chapter 12, verse 10.
In the book of Hosea, looking in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, verse number 10. Hosea, chapter 12, verse number 10.
Mm-hmm. 12, verse 10.
All right. Stumbling and fumbling around. Getting back to the book, which I have, chapter 12, and reading from verse 10, it says, I have also spoken by the seers, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the seers.
So, according to this Bible, who got the ministry? The seer. The seer is the one got the ministry that Yahweh is going to accept. So the ministry belongs to the seer because Yahweh gave the ministry to the seer to pass it on to the elders. So the ministry, this ministry that you're hearing right now, is come from Yahweh, and the first one he's going to give the proper information to is the seer. The seer will know the proper information about what you need to know on what time period you're in, and ain't got to watch that one hour tape. Because the seer knows something that's written in end time prophecy in 10:7. Let's find out what do the seer know according to Revelation 10:7. Really? What do the seer know according to end time prophecy 10:7?
In the book of Revelation, chapter 10, making notations as I'm talking here, and
that's
verse
right.
Number 7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the seers.
So that's what we're here to touch on, the mystery of the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets is a mystery, because we think the seven trumpets means, oh, that's a feast day. No, it's a mystery that has to be revealed by the seer, and the elders have to know it firsthand to pass it on to the teacher. That's going to be teaching. So it's a mystery. But he told the mystery to the seer. about the mystery of the seventh trumpet. Now we're going to Leviticus 23, and we're going to break down that mystery, Elder. We're going to Leviticus 23 and break down the mystery that was told by Yahweh to the angel to give it to the seers about the mystery of the seventh trumpet. And let's see what it be based upon what you're going to bring on that day. Let's see what the mystery is that the seers and the elders and the teachers got to always inform the congregation about the mystery. We're going to take a look at this mystery now. In Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to see what find out what about this mystery. Pick up the verse 23 there, Elder. Verse 23.
Okay, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23.
Yeah, that's
okay. In the book of Leviticus chapter 23, reading verse 23, says, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying," read 24.
Yep.
24 says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, "In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a righteous convocation."
Now you see what you say about it? Now, look up the definition on the word remorse. What do remorse mean? What do that word mean? Elder, if you're doing it for the national audience, see what this word called remorse. What that means is remorse of blowing the trumpet and a righteous gathering. But what this word mean by a remorse? What that mean for the national audience to be informed on the 7 months? Shall ye have a Sabbath? So whenever the day come on, whatever day of the week it is, it's a Sabbath day. It is a remorse of blowing the trumpet and a righteous gathering. What's that word remorse mean? Hey, oh, come on.
Okay, they have a regular dictionary definition, and they have a biblical meaning of a definition. So we'll go with the biblical meaning if that's going to be structured correctly. It says, it is a token of remembrance.
It's a token of remembrance. Yeah.
Yeah, and that goes into the book of Matthews. Yeah, but that's a token
of
remembrance.
That's good. It's a token of remembrance. So he wants you to remember something. Okay, that's good. Now we gotta figure out biblically, remember what? What do we got to remember in the more of blowing the trumpet? Let's find out something that we gotta remember, yo. We gotta remember what? And end time prophecy, Revelation chapter 9, verse 20, down to verse 21. Let's see what we got to remember. He said, this is something you're supposed to remember. The remorse of blowing a trumpet is something that you folks should remember. Remember what? Let's see what we folks remember in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. What does it say?
In the book of Revelation, chapter 9, reading verses 20 and 21. 20 says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repent not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. 21. Neither repented by their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts."
So he said, we need to remember that the more of blowing the trumpet is based on, it's going to be some people that going to do what? They're going to do what in verse 21? Take the time there. We got plenty of time. But bring that out in 21. They what in 21?
21 says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their deaths.
So he said the people are going to play their hand all the way to the end. And what they're not going to do, I don't care. Give me a precept on that. Give me 10:26 of Isaiah. I need a precept on that, Elder. 10:26 of the book of Isaiah. Give us still a precept on that. 10:26.
Okay, in the book of Isaiah, looking at chapter 10, going to verse 26. 26 says.
No. Wait a minute. Hold on. Y'all. Make that 2016. Turn that around.
Okay.
2016.
All right. Let me scratch my notes. Got me doing some writing here today.
That's right. That's why we gonna pray about the spirit of Yahweh. We gonna go at it. He says, let me just read that verse again. Like you find it in 2016. He says, in Revelation 9:21, it says, neither repent of their murders, nor their sorcery, nor of their fornication, or of their theft. That means he said they're going to take it all the way in. That's what they're going to do. That's what he said they're going to do. So in Isaiah 26, verse 10, says what?
Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 10 says, let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the hand of righteousness.
You say that?
Will he?
He said you can show favor to the wicked. The wicked is not going to come clean. I don't care what you do for that wicked. He's not. This people he's talking about, we're talking about as a nation. He said, even if you show favor, you go out your way. He said, they're not going to do right. Is that what we're reading there in 2016?
That's what we're reading.
That's what we're reading. So we got to keep this in mind that when you show favor to the wicked, I don't care how much you get up and do what you got to do for the wicked. According to Isaiah, that was told by the angel, they're not going to do right. So it, because in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you read verse 15 and see what that's saying, let's pursue this a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15.
In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, looking at verse number 15, it says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered.
He says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. If you try to bend this nation's people's back right, they'll break. So they ain't going to break. So if that which was made crooked, that's the key word. Made crooked. So if you made crooked, you cannot be straight now. Now, who made you crooked? Let's go to 7:13 of the same book. Ecclesiastes 7:13. Who made you crooked? We're going to 7:13 and see who made you crooked.
In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, reading verse number 13, it says, consider the work of Yahweh, for who can make that straight which he had made crooked?
Wait a minute, Elder. You mean Yahweh can make you crooked, or he can make you straight? Is that what we read here?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Well, let's see if we follow up on that then. Let's go to Romans. We're going to Romans chapter 9. We're going to Romans chapter 9, and we'll pick it at verse 13, and we'll read straight on down to 22. Now, we're just going to wrap back and take our time and just laid his hand while he's heading toward the reason why you hear nothing on the radio, TV, or nothing about the remora of blowing a trumpet. I wonder why you don't hear nothing about it. It's quiet about that. No preachers talking about it. I wonder why. We're going to find out. We're going to 13 down to verse 22. Let's see what it says in Romans chapter 9, verse 13 and 22. What it says.
In the book of Romans, chapter 9, reading 13 to 22. 13 says,
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. We're not going to read all this. We're going to just cut it into two pieces there, Elder. We're going to take it down Romans chapter 13, and we'll stop at verse number. Well, I tell you what. I'll pull you down when I know we've heard what we need to hear. 9:13, we stop here. Come on.
In the book of Romans chapter 9, starting at verse 13, 13 says, and this is written, Israel have I loved, but Esau have I hated. 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with our Yahuwah? Yahuwah forbid. 15. For he has said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of Yahuwah that showeth mercy. 17.
Stop it there. So what we find out now, it ain't about nobody, but it's the hand of Yahuwah. Yahuwah said, I'm the one call it. I'm the one going to end it. Give me a preacher. Hold that part right there. Give me a preacher. Put them off of there, Elder. Give me 2 Ezra 6, verse 6. You coming back. I need a precept on that. So what we just find out that he said now is Yahuwah is unmerciful? No. He said Yahuwah called it what he want to call. So we'll get a precept on that in 2 Ezra 6, verse 6 and come back. We'll put a mark in there. We'll be coming right back after we get a precept. 2 Ezra 6, verse 6. What it says.
In the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, reading verse number 6, says, then did I consider these, and they all were made through me alone, and through none other. By me also they shall be ended, and by none other.
He said, I'm the author, and I'm the finisher. He said, I'm the one made this thing and started up. And I'm the one going to end this thing. So that big talk is there. That big brick is talking there. He said, I consider my word. I'm the one made it. I'm the one started it. And I'm going to be the one that ended it. So it's going to be my call when this thing comes to an end. It's going to be called the way I got it already written how it's going to be. So that's what we're reading right here. So that means he done something the way he want to do it, because he know the end of it, how it's going to be, is that we just got to accept what the Bible is saying. So now we're coming back to Romans chapter 9, and we'll pick it up at verse number 19. Pick up verse 19 there, Elder, and we'll take it down to verse number 22. 19 and 22. We're in Romans chapter 9. Verse 19 down to verse 22, what it says.
In the book of Romans, chapter 9, starting at 19 to 22, 19 says, thou wilt say then unto me, why doeth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repellest against Yahuwah? Shall the thing formed say to him that I formed it? Why hast thou made me thus? 21. Had not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? 22. What if Yahuwah willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction.
You hear the man just say it? The man just said here, he said in verse 21, have not the potter, which is Yahweh, a potter of the clay, which is the world, to make one vessel, meaning people, into honor. He made one people, that is honor, and another unto dishonor. Verse 21. What if Yahweh is willing to show his wrath and his power known, endure with long suffering the people of wrath fitted for destruction? So you see, what we got to understand as we venture down to what we got to get to, last school, banquet hall, teaching, that we got to understand the Bible is going to stand. If Yahweh made one people for honor, and he made one people fit to be destroyed, this is the hand of Yahweh. And all we're supposed to say behind it is 118, verse 23. When you read stuff like this, you can't be trying to figure out nothing but what the scripture is saying. And remember, you got a precept in 118, verse 23 of Psalms. A.L., what it says in Psalms 118, verse 23?
In the book of Psalms, chapter 118, looking at verse 23, says, this is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
That's all we're supposed to say. This is the hand of Yahweh, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Because we're not going to change no way in this Bible. The way it is, it's the way it is. So when we read Malachi chapter 1, run down to verse 4, and then we get on off to the seven trumpets. See, we got to understand something. Yahweh have received the Bible from his father. And when his father gave him the book, it was closed. That's it. Come on, yo.
Malachi. What chapter 1?
Down to verse 4. Chapter 1, 1, 1 to 4.
Okay, chapter 1 to 4. Reading verse 1. The burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. 2. I have loved you, saith Yahweh, yet you say, where hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Israel's brother, saith Yahweh, yet I loved Israel. 3. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. 4. Where Edom saith, we are improvised, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus saith the Yahweh of hosts. Shall they build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom the Yahweh had indignation forever.
They said, we in promise. He said, but we're going to return and build. He said, right now we're in a cave. At that time, we was in a cave of what you call now Gethagland, Europe. But we know we're going to return and build like we build today. We got high rises all over the place now. So we have, from that prophecy obtained the past. We was in a cave of Europe called the Caucasus Mountains. And now you have came out of the Caucasus Mountains and returned back to your prophecy was. You're going to build, but Yahweh said he's going to throw down. And because Yahweh says the reason why he has this hatred for you, because he told Ezekiel in 33 verse 15, the only way that
you can turn me from hating a whole nation of people is in the book of Ezekiel 33, verse 15. Let's see what he got written in 33, verse 15 of Ezekiel. What did it say?
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, reading verse 15, says, verse 15, if the wicked restore the plague, give again that which he had robbed. Walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity. He shall surely live. He shall not die.
You see that? Forget it on the table. If the wicked will do right, give back what he has robbed and stole. If you do that and do something else in Acts 3:19, then the death sentence will be taken off the majority of descendants of Esau, translated day as the white man and the white woman. You say to give what you got to do. You got to give back what you have robbed and what you have stole. Then you got to do an Acts 3:19. What it says in Acts 3:19?
In the book of Acts, chapter 3, reading verse 19, says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh.
You see that? He said, now you got to open to repent. You got to repent. But now Paul was invited to the great big temple of the southern kingdom, brother. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. Let's see exactly what we can read in Hebrews 12, verse 16 and 17.
Okay, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, reading verse number 16 and verse number 17. 16 says, lest they be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. 17, for you know now that afterwards when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. So he sought it carefully with tears.
Are you thinking? So now you can understand what you just got through reading, Elder, in the beginning of the lesson. So we don't know why the Spirit is sitting there for one person. How we can understand Revelation, End Time Prophecy 9:21. Now we ain't got no problem understanding this verse. Let's see what he says in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. Now this verse should be very plain to the national audience. Revelation 9:21. What does it say to hell? End time prophecy. Come on.
In the book of Revelation, chapter 9, reading verse 21, says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornicators, nor of their thefts.
You see that? So he said, you see, the end time prophecy John wrote from prison. He said, these people's going to take it all the way in. They're not going to come clean. And Revelation 13:8-9 says what? Revelation 13, verse 8 and 9. So when we get into this remora of blowing the trumpets, understand there was a timeline on playing your role. Now, if you don't play your role in the timeline, then when this thing starts hitting you, and there it is. Let's see what it says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 and 9.
In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, reading verse 8 and 9, 8 says, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the fountains of the world. 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear.
Read another verse. Read one more verse.
10. If he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the question. End of.
Go ahead.
Here is the patient and the faith of the saint.
I get excited behind here. He just thought he don't take much just so serious. Getting happy, you know. So we found out that the repentance is open for a people. But the people, look, if you got a history of leading people into captivity, you must go into captivity unless you repent. If you got a history of murdering, robbing, stealing, and you don't repent, the same thing is going to happen to you. So John was writing from prison, and the angel was telling him to know that a people is going to take it all the way in. And they're going to do everything they can to take you with them. So it's up to you to understand the Bible is going to stand. We're not going to see Revelation chapter 5. The Bible was sealed when the Son received the Bible. It was sealed. That means there was be no alteration. He just had to find his part in there and do his part and told the angels find their part in there and do their part and get down to the seers and tell them their part and do that part. And that's the way it is. So that's why when we break this thing down to you, it's up to you to look at this Bible and stop looking at the fear of any of the elders or the teachers. We're just reading the Bible and connecting the books. So now, when we read Genesis 25:25, it tells us 25:25 and 26 exactly what two peoples he's talking about. Genesis 25:25 and 26. What it said, you know, let's see if we find out exactly what we're talking about, but we'll be clear that it is a separation. And here it is right here in Genesis 25:25 and 26. What it says.
Okay, in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse number 25 and 26. Book of Genesis, chapter 25. Looking at verses 25 and 26, says, verse number 25, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. 26, and after that came out his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them.
And that is the making of the Bible. Both sons came from Isaac, but one was made red, and the other was like all the rest of the creation. One was made different. One was made pale red, a different breed, and that is the coming of what you call today the white man and the white woman. That came from a black family and had a black brother. But Yahweh made one that come out pale red with straight hair and hairy skin. So now, whoever that fits today, that's the way it is. Now we're going to end time prophecy there, Elder. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 17 down to verse 19. And we could get up into the immortal and wanted son. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 19 says what?
Revelation chapter 1, reading 17 and 19. 17, 18 and 19.
Okay.
17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And I have the keys of hell and of death. 19. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
So you see that? So now, let me go on here. Let me go on. And go, so John was locked up by the Romans. But the angel came and let him know that, listen, you write down what I tell you to write down in penitentiary. So you ain't, he's locked up, so he's writing down what has happened, past, the present, and the future. Now I'm going to get a precept in 4 verse 1. What is it in 4 1?
Revelation 4, verse number 1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, which says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
So what John is writing is the hereafter. So we clear John writing the hereafter, and now the seer and the elder, we just take a look at what was said to John in the hereafter. Now we're going to 8th chapter, elder, or Revelation 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. And we'll look at verse 1, 2, and verse number 6. We're going to 8th chapter, Revelation chapter 1, 8, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 6. 1, 2, and 6 in 8th chapter. Let's see what's going on here. Come on.
Okay, in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, looking at verse number 1, 2, and 6. 1 says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Verse number 2, and I saw seven angels which stood before Yahweh, and to them were given seven trumpets. Verse number 6. And the seventh angel which had the seven trumpets prepared himself to sound.
You get it? And they prepared themselves to sound. Let's get down to verse 13. Let's see what's going on there. We're going to look at verse 13.
Verse number 13 says, and I beheld and heard a minister spirit flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three minister spirits which are yet to sound.
You see that, elder? So now this was the fourth trumpet. And so now they're saying, woe, woe, woe. That means disaster, disaster, disaster. So this remorse of the blowing trumpet is disaster, disaster, disaster. That is the true meaning of the remorse of blowing the trumpet. This is a day of disaster. It's not based upon, well, what I'm going to bring, what you're going to, no, listen. The remorse of blowing the trumpet is a disaster day. Is a righteous gathering to discuss exactly what we supposed to be doing, but you got to know the message. The true meaning is not, oh, it's a feast day. This feast day is a disaster day. Now we go on to the 9th chapter, Elder. We go on to the 9th chapter, and we're going to pick it up around by verse number. We go on to the 9th chapter, and we'll pick it up around by verse number 17. Let's see what's going on this 7th chapter. Let's pick it around
chapter 6, coming first. Think about verse 14, Elder. Think about verse 14.
Okay, 14.
14. Think about verse 14. Listen here.
Okay, Revelation chapter 9, reading verse number 14. 14
down to verse 20. Verse 20. Listen good.
Okay.
14 down to verse
okay.
20. Max orders, listen real good, because this is the sixth trumpet is making a sound. Let's see what's going on from the sixth trumpet. Come on.
Revelation 9, reading 14 to verse 20.
Now, figure 13. Figure verse
okay.
13. Revelation chapter
okay.
9, verse 13 to 20. 13 to 20.
All right. No problem. Just changing my notes. Revelation 9, reading 13 to 20. 13 says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before Yahweh. 14, saying, to the six minister spirit which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river of Euphrates. 15. And the four minister spirits were loosened, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of man. 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as heads of iron, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. 18. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of woods, which neither can see nor hear nor walk.
Good. So you see, now you have some Israelites that's going to take it all the way in too. They're not going to repent. They're going to keep their Christianity, Islam and Judaism, and they're going to keep on eating whole. They're going to keep on eating everything that Yahweh forbids them to eat, and they're going to take it all the way in and get destroyed too. Many of the Israelites that the Christian, that Sunday, Lord God and Jesus, they're going to be part of this mix. And this is on the sixth. And this is the sixth angel. Now we're going to the tenth chapter, Elder. And now we're going to the tenth chapter. And then we'll pick up at verse number 7. Seven down to verse number 11. We're going to, I'll tell you what, pick up at verse 4 to make it sound good. We're going to the 10th chapter, verse 4, and then we'll pick it up at verse 7 down to 11. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4, down to verse 11. Come on.
In the book of Revelation, chapter 10, starting at verse 4 and reading 7 to 11. 4 says, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Verse number 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh minister spirit, when shall he begin to sound? The mystery of Yahweh should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the seers. 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the minister spirit, which standeth upon the seas and upon the earth. 9. And I went to the minister of spirit and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it. Eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. 10. And I took the little book out of the minister of spirit's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Verse 11.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings.
He told that the mystery of the seers, he told the seers. He said, now y'all don't have to tell it. You got to tell the story about the seven trumpets. There were more. You got to prophesy against many. And what we're doing now, we prophesizing now about many, over 900,000 strong in the exercise. And it all depends on who they got into their possession of their own prophecy. Might be 10, 11 in one room. We don't know. But we prophesizing now about the seven trumpets. But he said something very important in verse number 8, Elder. What did he say again in verse 8? 10, verse 8.
Verse number 8 says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take this little book which is open in the hand of the minister spirit, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
Let's crease up there and find out who this voice he heard from heaven told him, hey, take that book out of that angel's hand. If people say that when you crease up your Bible, Elder. And the book, we go on to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, and see who is that told the quote the seer, hey, seer, go take that book out of that angel's hand. Let's go to Hebrews 12, 25, and see who that talks.
In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, reading verse number 25, says, see that ye refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
He said, this is the one that spoke on earth. So he said, don't tell it from the one that spoke. So, oh, wow, this man spoke on earth. So the one that told, don't listen to this guy, because once upon a time ago, he spoke on earth, but now he's in heaven. We had in the 28th chapter. Let's see what he's doing. Let's see what he's doing. Let's go to Matthew 28. He says, only fills him that talking from heaven, because once upon a time ago, he spoke on earth. Let's preach up there and find out who they're talking about in Matthew 28, verse 18. Who that once upon a time ago spoke on earth, but now is in heaven. We're going to preach up our Bible to Matthew 28:18 to see what they're talking about. Elder, come on.
Matthew chapter 28, reading verse 18 says, and Yahweh the Son came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Take that stuff. So now we know clearly who this talking. So he said, listen, this is Yahweh the Son that's talking to the angel about the destruction on the remora of the seventh trumpet. Letting you know that the more of blowing the trumpet is a day of destruction. It's not based upon you sitting around eating, skinning, and grinning, but not knowing the message. That's a day of destruction. The remora of blowing the trumpet is a day of destruction. Let's go to Isaiah and see what he said about it in 27 verse 13, 12 and 13, Elder. So when you're teaching, Elder, the teachers, pertain to what is the remora of blowing trumpets is your duty is to let the young lions know, the teachers understand that this day is not, it is an Enum update, but we explain to the people when this day comes, it's going to be a breakout day. Go to Isaiah 27, 12 and 13, let's see the say.
Isaiah, what was that information?
27, 12 and 13.
Okay. It wasn't too clear at first. I have it, Isaiah 23, looking at verses 12 and 13.
Verse 27. Verse 27, verse 12 and 13.
Okay, Isaiah chapter 27, verse 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse number 12 says, and it shall come to pass that in the day that the Yahweh shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the streams of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Yahweh in the righteous mount at Jerusalem. Yata.
You see that? So the more of the blowing of trumpet, Elder, it's about gathering the Israelites that is scattered from the four nations on, that's scattered in the four corners of the world. So that remora of trumpets is coming in about a couple more weeks. It's about that announcement of the seventh trumpet. It is the gathering of the children of Israel because he wants them to see something in Psalms 91, 1 through 8. So the gathering elder, see, when you talk to the young lion students, the teachers, to let them know that the remora of the blood of trumpets is to gather the outskirts of the children of Israel that scattered to all the nations of the earth. For what reason? We'll find out right now in Psalms 91, 1 through 8. Let's see what are you gathering them for and what reason. 91, 1 through 8, come up.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 91, reading verses 1 to verse number 8, 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 2, I will say of the Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress. My Yahweh, in him will I trust. 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. 4, and he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shall thou trust. He shall be thy shield and buckler. 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. 6, nor the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. 8, only thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
you see what the children of Israel going to be gathered? They will be gathered together from the isolated area. Now, that they might reach the area in 34, verse 1 through 8 of Isaiah. So you see, Elder, the moral of blowing the trumpet is about the gathering of the children of Israel to get a front seat on watching the destruction of the wicked. You see that?
That is the true meaning of the speech that's coming up. It's remind the children of Israel, if you do right, you will be gathered, and you will be taken to the sacred place. And there you will see, I don't know how you're going to, maybe you might put a big screen TV up, I don't know, like we had a long time ago when you go to the drive-in. They got big theater, you park in your car, and everybody everywhere around, I don't know, they still have it now, I don't know. You got a big theater, and you park in your car, and you watching the great big movie. That's what you're going to be watching. A big theater, and what you're going to be seeing on the remore of the blowing of trumpets is the reward of the wicked. That's what you're going to be seeing. Because he told Malachi in 3:15, I got to get a precept, Elder. He told Malachi another fear about this reward of the wicked, because he told Malachi, he said, Malachi, you just put this in the book. Ain't nobody going to bring this out but the 690 camp of the two Israelites. What it says in Malachi 3:15?
In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, reading verse number 15, says, 15, and now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that are tempt Yahweh are even delivered.
Ain't that something? You said the wicked, but what else? They were set up. Listen, Elder. The wicked was set up for this whooping, Elder. It's been prophesied, I created one for to return back by repentance, and I created another people that ain't going to return back from repentance. They're not going to get back what they stole, so they're going to take it all the way in. So it's up to you to understand. There were more rehearsing the righteous act on the wicked have been set up to be delivered up. See? And you're going to see the reward of the wicked if you do right. But if you don't do right, when that seven trumpet sounds, you're going to be caught up with the wicked. And you're going to get exactly what the wicked got coming. You're going to have it coming. That's it. So if you're not understanding what the remora of blowing trumpet is all about, you think it's happy time and we're going to see long-lost friends and eat them up and drink them up. Although that is true. But the main reason is to inform you exactly of the remora of blowing the trumpets is a gloomy day of beatdown for everybody. Matter of fact, let's read that. Let's go to and show you exactly what the remora of blowing trumpets means by Hosea. By Hosea, he talks about it. He let you know what this day is more about. Then try to figure out what food you're going to bring. You need to know the true reason of the seven trumpets, and we go on and read it in the book of Hosea, Elder. We're going to read exactly what he told Hosea to write about this day, too. So the message cannot be lost in what we're going to bring to eat. Let's go to 2 verse 1. Let's read a little bit. Let's read something down to 1 through 5. We're going to Joel chapter 2, 1 down to verse 5, what it says.
Okay, Joel. Okay. Chapter 2, reading verses 1 to verse number 5. Joel 2, 1 to 5. 1 says, blow a few the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my righteous mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahweh cometh, for it is nigh at hand. 2. A day of darkness and of gloominess, and a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as morning spread up on the mountains, a great people and a strong, there had not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. A land is as a garden of Eden or four of them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. 5. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame or fire that devour and stumble, as strong people set in battle array.
So there's more of blowing the trumpets, Elder. It's going to be a gloomy day. That's going to be a day when he gathered the ones that have done right to see the reward of the wicked, and then he's going to put the lights off on this thing, and he's going to get down to some serious business. Go to Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, and we'll read till we get our point. Go to Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. So you see, what you be teaching the young lion, that the more of the blowing of the trumpets is when the people come together, you first remind them what this day is all about. It's about the day when Yahweh returns and put the wicked and those that tied in with it, and it can be you too, Mr. Christian and Miss Christian. Because you tied in with the wicked, you going down with it. Because this is the conclusion of this thing. That was the memorial of blowing the trumpets is about. So now what you reading, Elder?
I'm reading Revelation chapter 18, reading verse number 4 until we get our point. Paul says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh hath remembered her iniquities. 6. Rewarding her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she had filled to her double. 7. How much had she glorified herself and liveth deliciously, so much torment and sorrow given her. For she said in her heart or mind, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no more sorrow. 8. Therefore shall her plagues come down in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Yahweh who judges her. 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. 10. Stand in the fire for the fear of her torment, saying, Alice, Alice, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
Sabadale. All Yahweh need, how much time, Elder? 1 hour. Yahweh gonna take all this business in 1 hour. Yahweh gonna take care of all this business in 1 hour. So all this gonna happen so fast, but everybody gonna be moving like a streak of lightning. And this is going to be happening with more of the trumpets. This is going to be happening just as fast. And all Yahweh needs is just 1 hour. Let's skip down to verse number. We're going to skip down to verse number, make it 18. Well, I'll tell you what, make it 19. Verse 19.
Okay, reading verse 19. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, Alas, what a great city, wherein were we made rich, all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate.
So I'm gonna turn to Yahweh. I need 1 hour. Yahweh gonna take care of all this business in 1 hour. That's how he gonna roll. 1 hour. 20 to 21. What's gonna happen, Elvin?
20 and 21. 20 says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye righteous apostles and seers, for Yahweh hath avenged you on her. 21. And a mighty minister spirit took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all.
Verse 22 and 23. You hear that? So great Babylon was called United States of America. This was going to happen, the rehearsal of the removal of blowing the trumpet. So when you're doing the 6 anointed count, make sure they understand the message is on the removal of blowing the trumpet is your gathering to him. That's if you're undone right. But if you're not, you'll be stuck running around in your apartment of your home trying to escape the missiles that are going to be dropped on your head. 22, 23.
Verses 22 and 23. Verse number 22 says, and the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard at more, no more at all in thee. 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived.
You see that? So you see, Elder, it's all the stuff you see going on right now. All the stuff you got going on right now is going to come to an end. And it will be no more. He's going to throw this thing down with violence, and you will see the reward of the wicked. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Elder. We'll pick up verse 50 down to verse 58. Let's see what it says in 50 down to verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 down to verse 58.
50 to 58. 1 Corinthians. Okay, going to chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, looking at 50 to 58. Verse number 50 says, verse number 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, neither do thy corruption inherit incorruption. 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not at all sleep, but we shall all be changed. 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and all the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 53. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and for this mortal must be put on immortality. That's 53.
Yeah, settle down, 58. 54.
Okay. 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. 57. But thanks be to Yahweh, which giveth the victory to our Yahweh, the Son. 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unremovable, always abounding in the work of the Yahuwah. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Yahuwah.
You see that? So all that they got to know on his seven trumpets, that it's a payday coming, and you, now we know it exactly, and we ain't heard one trumpet yet. So when you hear the seven trumpets, that is the battle of the children of Israel. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. What it say, 1 Thessalonians 4:16.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead and Yahweh the Son shall rise first.
You see that? So now he's letting you know on that seventh trumpet, he's going to take you all the business. Those that have done right in the ground, they coming up. They scattered. They coming up. All that's going on the more of the Lord of trumpets, he's going to be whooping everybody. He's going to have angels raising up people. So all is going to go so fast, Elder, just in 1 hour, Yahuwah going to be raising the dead that have done right. He's going to be whooping the ones that ain't right. He's going to be taking you to a place where you can sit down and watch the reward of the wicked on a big screen TV, like the drive-in. All that's going to be going on in that 1 hour. All that's going to be going on, he's going to take care of all this business. He's going to whoop whoever got to be whooped in 1 hour. So now we clear exactly what's going to happen on the remore of blowing the trumpet. So now, what is he telling us? Let's go to 2 Ezra 2:15-19. So now, what we got to do? We go on find out what the seer got to say in 2 Ezra 2:1, then skip down to 15-19. Let's see what got to be done, Elder. 2 Ezra 2:15-19.
Okay, going to the book of 2 Ezra. Looking at chapter 2, reading verse number 1, and then 15-19. Okay, chapter 2, reading verse number 1. 1 says, thus says the Yahuwah, I brought this people out of bondage and gave them my commandments or Torah instructions by manservants, the seers, whom they would not hear, but despise my counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 15.
Good. See what they did? They won't hear the seer dead, and they hearing it now, and they despise his counsel. This is his counsel, and they despise it right now. They worried about what you're going to bring instead of worried about the true meaning of the 7 day of the mode of blowing the trumpet. This is the true meaning that you must rehearse the righteous act. 15:19.
Okay, 15-19. 15 says, mother, embrace thy children and bring them up with gladness. Make their feet as fast as a pillar, for I have chosen thee, saith the Yahuwah. 16. And those that be dead, I will raise up again from their places and bring them out of the graves, for I have known my name in Israel. 17. Fear not, thou mother of the children, for I have chosen thee, saith the Yahuwah. 18. For thy help I will send my servants Esau and Jeremy after those whose counsel I have sanctified and prepared for the 12 trees laden divers fruit.
That's Elijah. He's never sent Elijah. He ain't sent Esau. No, he's delivering Esau up. He's sending Elijah. And that would mean Elijah
to start raising you up. So we're raising you up now. We're telling you exactly the remorse born trumpets. That's big time. Go ahead.
19. And as many fountains flowing with milk and honey, and seven mighty mountains whereupon there are grown roses and lilies, whereby I will fill thy children with joy.
So you see what you'll be eating? Roses, lilies, and herbs. That's what you'll be eating when you do get back right. That's what you'll be eating. Now, who was he talking about in Baruch chapter 3, verse 4? Let's talk about Baruch chapter 3, verse 4. So our job is to do what? Baruch chapter 3, verse 4.
In the book of Baruch. Okay, looking at chapter 3, reading verse number 4, it says, O Yahweh Almighty, thou Yahweh of Israel, hear now the prayers of the dead Israelites and of their children.
You see what kind of state we're in, Elder? The Lord blowing trumpets is by waking up the dead Israelites. See? Because this day is going to be a gloomy day. That day is a day that you got to be reminded, this is the day Yahweh will take care of the famine. So if you wicked, you will be an Israelite, whatever nation you is. If you are on the left side, you're going to receive the left side reward. Matter of fact, let's read that in 25 verse 40. Let's read that, Elder. Let's read the precept on that. Matthew 25 verse 40. Let's read a precept. So if you're on the wrong side, you're going to receive the right reward that you got coming by paying the seers and the elders, no, never mind. The remorse of blowing trumpets, it is the beat down of the world and putting you back up under your fig tree. Matthew 25:40 says what?
25:40. Book of Matthew, chapter 25. Reading verse number 40 says, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brother, ye have done it unto me.
So it's payback on what you have been doing to the children of Israel that is written. You've been whooping the children of Israel, calling them African-American, Negro, and color. But now, he's every time you call them that, you've done it to them, you're just like you've done it to me. So now the children of Israel are going to have a job. We go on to the 39th chapter of Ezekiel 11 down to verse 15. Let's find on that same day when Yahweh's doing what he got to do, let's see what he tells what you will be doing on that same day of the remorse of blowing the trumpet. In that same day, 39:11 down to verse 15. What's going on here with that? Ezekiel 39:11 down to verse 15.
In Ezekiel chapter 39, reading 11 to 15. 11 says, And it shall come to pass that in that day that I will give unto God a place there of graves in Israel, and the valley of the passages on the east of the sea. And it shall stop at the noses of the passages, and they shall say, They bury God and all his multitudes, and they shall call it the valley of Hamagog. 12. And the 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. 13. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown that day that I shall be glorified, saith the Yahweh. 14. And they shall sever out men of continual employment passing through the land to bury with the pastures that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of the 7 months shall they search. 15. and the passengers that pass through the land, when they see a man's bone, then it shall be set up a sign by it, and the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamagog.
Verse 17.
Verse number 17. And though, son of man, thus saith the Yahuwah, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come together yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood.
Verse 18.
18. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of the rams, of the lambs, of the goats, of the bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan.
Verse 19.
19. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till you be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you.
So who is he telling me to tell this to in verse 17? Read verse 17 and find out who is Ezekiel. He told Ezekiel, you go tell who this, that this is what they're going to be doing on that great day. Verse 17.
17. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Yahweh, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourself.
Yourself, huh? You see that?
Assembly
so he's going to be, fear is going to tell, it's going to tell the birds. Hey, birds, y'all, now you know they're going to promise you a day after Yahweh gets to killing everything up. And now give me 14, verse 20 of Revelation. Let's see how much good eating blood they're going to have to do. It's this is the moral of the blowing of the trumpets. Revelation 14, verse 20.
14, 20. In the book of Revelations, looking at chapter 14, reading verse number 20, says, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
200 miles of blood. So the more of blowing the trumpet is to remind the children of Israel that Yahweh is going to kill for 200 miles up to the horse's bridle, and he got to call the fowls of the earth down to eat up all the blood and eat up all the people, eat till you fall back. Because that's what they do. So you got big birds right now growing over in the land of Israel right now. And they're flying around with handkerchiefs on their neck right now. Getting prepared for the great big evil thing. They say, why them birds got handkerchiefs hanging out? Because they never been disconnected. They know they got a day coming in the land of Israel of eating up everybody over there and cleanse the land. So if you go over the land of Israel, get out of the land of Israel, because you don't bronze there until the cleaning happens. It's filthy over there. You ain't got no reason to be in the land of Israel if you're an Israelite. You won't be in the West. Because if you're in the East, at that time, Yahweh is going to destroy it big time and cleanse the land. So if you're over there now, you'll get cleansed up. Let's read one more verse, Elder and Second Ezra. 13, verse number 11, and we'll close out with that, and we'll talk about that. So now, anybody of the children of Israel, Benjamin, peoples, and all that, this got no business in that land of Israel. Because that land got to be cleaned out first. It got to be a great slaughtering, great killing first. Then once the birds and came, and you unburied bodies, and the birds eat up everything they don't think, and when the land cleansed, then you come back into the land. You ain't got no business over in that land. If you over that land now, that means you must be dumb and understanding. You ain't got no business in the land of Israel for no reason whatsoever. And that's the teaching of the Ramor of blowing trumpets. The seventh trumpet is the announcement of the whooping and you returning on the outskirts of Israel, watching reward of the wicked, seeing the dead bodies everywhere, seeing you got 7 months to bury bodies, you got birds to be eating up things, the land got to be cleansed and put together right. Then you come into the land. Last verse, Elder, 13 verse 11, second Ezra, and we can talk about it until tomorrow at 7:30. Come on.
In the book of second Ezra, chapter 13, reading verse number 11 says, and they were all mixed together, the blast of fire, the flaming breath, and the great tempest, and fell with the violence upon the multitudes which were prepared to fight, and they burned them up, every one, so that upon a sudden of a innumerable multitude nothing was to be perceived, but only dust and the smell of smoke. When I saw this, I was afraid.
So you hear this? I mean, every last one of them burnt up. I mean, the whooping was so perfect, Elder. He whooped everything, busted tail up, left them dead. Everything goes on the Ramor of blowing trumpets. So that is the true meaning of the Ramor of blowing trumpets. That's what we must know. That is Yahweh gathering us from every nation from the sun, whooping everybody that's on the wrong side of the law. It can be you. We know it's going to be Esau and his five sons. That means the translator is the white man and white woman. The majority of them is going down, but you can go down there with them. All right, back on airways tomorrow at 7:30. So ever take your time, whatever you want to talk about, it's all yours. I'm through with it. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless us here, Israel. And you might imagine that the elder is a pretty tired individual at this point, because we had to do some throwdown this evening. So as Yahweh said, read ye from this book only, for none shall match your mate. For remember that Yahweh is a jealous Yahweh. Take no Yahweh before him. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Back on our way tomorrow at 7:30. So now you understand the true meaning of the more of blowing trumpets. It ain't about what you eat. It's about what you know to help yourself and others. Now, once you know all this information, then it's time to eat them up and drink them up. Wake up, 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 wake up